welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and get started here in a passage of Scripture found in Philippians chapter 4. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Philippian church, and he's got some wonderful guidance for them here. He says, and this is, you know, in the context of having just received an offering from them. He said, not that I'm implying that I was in any personal want, for I have learned how to be content, satisfied to the point where I'm not disturbed or disquieted in whatever state I am. I know how to be abased and live humbly in straitened circumstances, and I know also how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. I've learned in any and all circumstances the secret of facing every situation, whether well-fed or going hungry, having a sufficiency and enough to spare, or going without and being in want. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. This is amplified, kind of really expanding it out there. You probably know the scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the amplified version of that statement. But you see the Apostle Paul, and in light of receiving, he's grateful for the gift and the offering toward his ministry, but he's letting them know, too, that in his heart, in his mind, he has learned the secret. And the great secret of life is the secret of contentedness. In any situation, he can be content. I mean, quite a different scenario when you're well-fed and have plenty to spare, or you're in want and you're in need and you're lacking. You're at the end of the month and you've got, you know, more budget than you have, you know, more need than you have those dollars coming in. All that, you know, we understand it. We get it. But he's saying, regardless of what that situation is for me, he said, I'm content no matter what. Now, when you think about his life and when he's saying he's content, think about some of these things that he went through. He gives us a little bit of a bullet point here in 2 Corinthians. He says, 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I've traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I've faced dangers in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I've faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Now, this is just the Apostle Paul relating, you know, some of the trials and the things that he's gone through in life. And as he tells the Philippians, he's learned a secret. You know, when you think about some of this stuff, I mean, how many of us, I don't want to compare my stuff with this list right here, you know, but how many times have I been tempted with my list to just want to either give up or be frustrated or, you know, how could he keep going through all this? He had a secret of contentment that wasn't dependent on what was going on in his life. I mean, think of that. 5 times 39 lashes. You would think by the third or fourth, it's like, okay, I can't do this anymore. He could keep doing it. He had a secret of contentment. And this morning, that's what I really want to minister along the lines of. What was it that Paul had here? What was it that he got? What was his secret to success in his ministry? How could he just keep going on through life, no matter what life threw at him? He was just content in the middle of that. And that contentment, many times, is the place that's just keeping you steady for the breakthrough or the answer or whatever that is. But in the meantime, there's contentment. And he had the ability to be content. Now, when we're talking contentment, I don't want to confuse it with other ideas or thoughts. This is not complacency. That's a feeling of smug or uncritical satisfaction with one's self or one's achievements, all right? This is not a complacency. The Apostle Paul was not sitting in one place. He was going. He was going forward in life. Yes, dealing with stuff, but man, this was a contentment, all right? Sometimes you'll hear the phrase, resting on your laurels. You get lazy or complacent about what you could achieve because you're too busy basking in the memories of former glories, all right? Sometimes you can have that sense of neutral. This is not what we're talking about either. This is going forward and dealing with stuff many times because you are going forward. You are dealing with attack. You are dealing with resistance because you're endeavoring to go forward in life. And the Apostle Paul, he could find something. He could find that place in God where he could just tap into this contentment that no matter what was going on around him. And when I think of, I was just talking with some folks the other day. We were at a wedding, and they were talking about how they come up all the time to Door County and how this is such a special place. And we know it is such a special place. It's a place where many times it's tradition to come, to enjoy, and it's that favorite spot or whatever. I got this picture here. This is a picture that reminds me of my kind of type of Door County when I was growing up. Back in the 70s, we had a resort. It was called Kittleson's at the time. And it was this little nestled six cabins, you know, just along the shoreline there. And it was this little fork that brought two rivers or two lakes together. It was a Hemlock and Red Cedar in the Rice Lake area, if you're familiar with that at all. But it's these two bodies of water. And we would do our fishing, spring fishing. But I remember as a kid, I'd get up there and we'd be cabin number six usually. And I'd get an old cabin number six and it's like, you just come from, you know, we had a lot of times for us, we just finished up with school and, you know, we had a farm and all this stuff. But when we went to the cabin, when we went to Kittleson's, this is where we would just unplug from life. And it was like this one place where things stayed the same, this place of stability that I could just come and find this resting spot. And so I see that picture and it stirs up a certain nostalgia of feelings, emotions, of things that I would experience, that I know people come from all over the world to experience regularly in Door County, and that we're able to experience it too, right here. But what I want to do again this morning is I want to be able to find this place, whatever that place is for you, to find this place in the middle of anything you're going through. That's what Paul learned. He knew how to get to cabin six, no matter what was going on around him. This place of peaceful contentment. And so we're going to look at contentment. We're basically going to look at two aspects of it. The first aspect is simply the fact that contentment is a choice. This is something you're going to have to be deliberate about choosing to do. One of the things that we realize as we're choosing contentment is that we're going to have to unplug from other things as we plug into contentment. So these are just a few things that we can gravitate toward, not necessarily even consciously. Life and circumstances can push us towards some of these things, and we can find ourselves plugged into things that are not God and have discontentment. But one of those things is money. 1 Timothy 6, 10 through 11, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness." So one of the things, one of the aspects that we have to be aware of, to be considerate of, is when I'm wanting, needing that place of contentment, that peace, we have to realize that we cannot find that in money. Actually, there's a few verses above this that says that there are some who suppose that gain, financial gain, is godliness. It's not. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. So we find our baseline for contentment financially, that we are to appreciate and be content with the basic things that we need in life. Can God put on our hearts to do something that can involve resources, money? Sure, He can. But as far as what we need in terms of our contentment, it's not found in money. It's not greed. You know, it says, you stray from the faith in greediness. It can be a subtle deception. That's where He says, flee these things. Swim away. Don't even go near that stuff. But pursue. You'll notice it's not just that I'm not getting sucked into money, but I'm pursuing righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. I got an agenda. I'm going after other things in the Word, in my heart. You know, so, you know, Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You're going to love the one, you're going to hate the other. You're going to despise the one, you're going to be loyal to the other. You can't serve God and money. You know, and it says if your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. And so that's where unplugging comes in. It's like, okay, I'm not going to do it. And there is such a temptation to think, man, if I just had X number of dollars, my life would be solved. No, it won't. No, it won't. You know, there are a lot of people who bump into big, big dollars. I mean, think about if you do a little bit of background check on people who win the lottery, you would be amazed at how that instant wealth can have a corrupting effect on a person's life. All of a sudden, you got a bunch of friends. All of a sudden, you got to decide who is your friend. All of a sudden, you get all this weirdness that is going on, and pretty soon, and then your own greed, your own flesh. Sometimes, you know, what the Apostle Paul, he said, I've learned how to be abased, and I've learned how to abound. In other words, the Apostle Paul could have handled winning the lottery. You know, he could have handled that kind of money because he learned how to abound. Sometimes people will describe it as two kind of tests, the poverty test and the prosperity test, right? And a lot of us know that poverty test, but a lot of times that prosperity test is more difficult because when you have the prosperity test, you have the ability to finance all kind of distractions from your problems. But to not do that and keep your focus on Jesus takes a legitimate, you know, and really in our country and where we live in, a lot of us, more, whether we realize it or not, have to deal with that prosperity test as well, too. I'm just saying, relatively speaking, in the world we live in. And so we got to realize that money is not going to do it. Money isn't going to take care of it. I love the story when Jesus was, you know, ministering, and there was all these people, and he tested Philip. He said, hey, Philip, where are we going to have enough money to buy food for all these people? And Philip said, there's no way we can buy the food for all these people, Lord. He said, we just got, you know, there was a little boy's lunch, you know, a few loaves of fish and a few loaves of bread and a couple fish. And Jesus said, bring it here. And what did he do? He blessed the loaves and the fish, and the Lord multiplied that. But the thing of it was, is Jesus wasn't worried about only having a few loaves and fish. In other words, he wasn't plugged into the loaves and the fish. He was plugged into the one who could bless the loaves and the fish. And you may be looking at your budget, your dollars. It's not what X is right now. It's the one who can bless your loaves, your fish. It's plugging into the blesser of our resources, the one who can multiply, the one who can cause all grace to abound, that we have all sufficiency in all things, can abound toward every good work. But that is a decision that we've got to be intentional about and be mindful about. But I love that heart. It is about, Lord, it is you. I'm following after you. And here's an interesting thing. After Jesus did that miracle, he told the disciples to go out and gather the fragments that were left over. Now, there's two sides of the story that don't make sense. The front end of the story, how you can take a few, and in the natural, that you would take a few loaves of fish and some bread and feed 5,000 people. Wow, that's miraculous. But if you can do that, why would you need to gather up the fragments that are left over? You know? I mean, somebody being around Jesus would be like, wow, Jesus, wait, no, disciples, stop. Don't get, Jesus, you need a manager. You need somebody, you don't realize what you got here, you know? What is Jesus doing? He's saying what he hears the Father say. He's doing what he sees the Father do. There's no natural gaming. There's no natural, it's walking with his Lord. You might be in a situation where he calls you to give, and it seems like, wow, this is not a good time. But you're just doing what he shows you to do. There's things in the natural, it's faith. And so God works with us. But he'll put things in our hearts in a way that'll cause us to unplug from money. My source, my contentment is not in money. Whether I'm a base, whether I'm a bound, regardless of what the month looks like, I'm content, Lord, in you. The Apostle Paul knew that kind of contentment. Also unplugging from people, all right? If anyone comes to me and does not hate Father and his mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters, yes, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So this is another area that we, in terms of contentment, have to learn how to unplug. You know, we thank God for each one of these relationships. And as you look at the Word of God, there's scripture for each one of these relationships, how we're to love these people and care for them and how they are to be dear to our heart. All right? But when it comes to contentment, right, there is only one. There is only one who is worthy of our worship. There is only one who we are called to love with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. And that's God. That's what we did this morning. We plugged into him. We can't put this pressure on another person. The problem with everyone on that list right there, everyone in your list, is they're just like you. They're frail. They have weaknesses. They have insecurities. They have their own flesh. They're overcoming stuff. They could be critical. They could, you know, have a good day. They could have a bad day. But if you're content always, you got to be plugged into somebody other than people. In fact, when people on that list vary and you're plugged into God first and foremost, that's what gives you the ability to love people in that list. When you're grounded, they might say, they may be off, and instead of trying to win and fight, there's a security in him. There's a contentment in him. There is a peace and a grace that you have in your walk with the Lord that grounds you and gives you the ability to deal with the ups and downs of people in that list who we are called to love, who are called to be close to us. But they are not called to be God. And there's no one who can take that place. There's no one who can take the place of the Lord Jesus Christ. We call him Lord for a reason. The word Lord means supreme authority. And so when Jesus says, if somebody comes to me and doesn't hate father, mother, brother, he can't be my disciple. What is he in essence saying? He's saying, I can only disciple you as far as whoever's in that list who you love more than me will let you. You know, that's as far as I can take you. But now if you put me first and you love me more than anyone, I can take you amazing places. You can be changed from glory to glory to glory. And a lot of times when we're really frustrated with the person in that list, we can subtly, idolatrously put them above the Lord. And say, it just feels like, yeah, well, you know what? I'm here. The throne of grace is open. There is mercy and grace to help in whatever that time of need is. I love you, child. I'm for you. I'm with you. You know, I've had that happen years ago. I remember just going out for a walk, and I was mad, and I was frustrated, and the Lord just speaking to my heart. I could hear him say this, Ed, can we talk? And it's like, yeah. Are you mad at me? Did I do anything? No. But it's like sometimes you can get mad at people to where we don't consciously realize it, but we're getting mad at God. Why did you? No, he still loves you. He's still for you. And so there is an unplugging from people and plugging into God. We're talking about that secret of contentment. There's also an unplugging from circumstances. My brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. All right? Circumstances. Oh, man. You know how it is. I mean, there are some days that it feels like the old adage, the old Murphy's Law adage, that everything that can go wrong will go wrong. You can have some of those days where you can just feel the unluckiness, you know, coming on you just based on what happens. And it's like, wow, if that would have been just an inch more that way or 3 seconds earlier or, you know, all this, you know, what are the odds? And you find yourself asking things and circumstances and just it, that can be on a small scale. It can be on a large scale. There are circumstances. There's just stuff that happens. And that can absolutely be demonic attack at times, too, where you're just experiencing this constant buffeting, the Apostle Paul says, where it's just kind of this nagging thing. And here's what what James says. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. What is he making? He's making it sound like contentment. Contentment in the middle of circumstances. Being perfect and complete doesn't mean that bad circumstances stop happening. It doesn't mean that trials cease. It just means that you're perfect and complete, you're content, you're satisfied in the middle of circumstances. So in other words, you gotta unplug. We gotta unplug from our unluckiness, our sense of unluckiness, unplug from the bad odds, unplug from the bad circumstances consciously. What are we talking about? Contentment is a choice. This thing is draining the life out of me. Maybe I ought to unplug from that thing and plug back into God. The ability to do it, the choice is there. I don't have to problem solve a bad thing. Just unplug from it and plug into God. It's like what we were talking this morning, even that, just the ministry in the Spirit this morning. Man, I'm plugging in, I'm casting my cares on Him. Praise God, keep my heart and mind in Christ Jesus till He shows me the mind of His Spirit in this matter. All right, I'm going to do what He shows me to do. But there's an unplugging, an intentional. Yes, I don't like the circumstance, but I'm not going to stay plugged into it. I'm not going to let it drain me emotionally and spiritually. I'm going to unplug. I'm going to let patience have its perfect work. I'm going to, and I'm going to plug, I'm going to plug into God. I'm going to plug into Him. So there is there's the unplugging from circumstances. Then, of course, there's the unplugging from yourself. I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. In other words, you get the idea, all right? This list, if it's not complete, you understand the trajectory of it. And this is the stuff that we all have to deal with. This is what it means to, and this is what, you know, the Bible says Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh, tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. This is why we have a great high priest who's sympathetic. Hebrews says he has a shared feeling with that infirmity, with that weakness, with that pull, with that subjected to temptation that we experience. And so it's important to realize that there's also an intentional unplugging of ourselves. Now, we can look at those works of the flesh. You know, there's different kinds of works of the flesh. And the thing about the flesh is the flesh only satisfies flesh. Flesh does not satisfy your spirit. The flesh, you know, Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. God says, you've suffered no temptation except that which is common to man. You know, I'll provide the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Well, Satan, through that list, says, come unto me and find rest. I'll provide you a way of escape that you can bear it. Of course, it's a false escape. These are false escapes. And even though they could provide pleasure or distraction, they cannot provide contentment in your heart. This is the stuff where flesh, what did Paul say? He said, when you sow to the flesh, you have the flesh reap corruption. This is where on the back end of this stuff, it messes with your mind, it messes with your feelings, it messes with your logic. It opens you up to that demonic wisdom, you know, where the enemy comes in and begins to play on this stuff, because it, with this stuff comes insecurity, it comes fear, it comes all that stuff. And so their contentment, you know, as we're dealing with this, instead of it just being about one of those works of the flesh, it's important to see that there's a bigger picture here. This is interfering with a contentment in my life. There's an unplugging from self that I got to realize, even though I'm going in this direction, this is a direction that is hurting me. I got to unplug from it and realize that there's contentment in God. There's contentment in Him. This is a false contentment. This is a pseudo. It's pretend. It's the enemy's counterfeit to God's true contentment in every situation. So we got to be able to spot this, some of this stuff in ourselves as we're going through different things. And so as we see all this kind of the backdrop, then we revisit Paul's conclusion here. He said, not that I speak in regard to need. I've learned whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound in everywhere and all things. I've learned both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound, to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Strength for all things in Christ who empowers me, ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. We're revisiting that. What is he saying? He's saying, I'm unplugging from the poverty, I'm unplugging from the person who hurt me, I'm unplugging from that false brother who maybe even broke my heart, all right? I mean, but one thing that poverty, the brother, the person, the circumstance can't do is they can't get in between and me and the contentment that I can have in God. In other words, I'm unplugging from those things and I'm plugging into Christ who strengthens me. And your victory in a lot of these situations is you're plugging into Christ. It's not a happy feeling. It's you can experience a joy of the Lord that's supernatural, definitely. But there is a contentment and a satisfaction that you have in Him. Do I have the answer? No. Do I know how this thing's going to turn out? No. But I'm in Him. And I know He loves me. I know He's for me. And there's a strength on the inside of me that comes from Christ that's keeping me steady, that's keeping me content in the moment. I have strength for all things. In other words, I have strength for everything that I unplug from. There's strength in God for whatever that situation is, circumstance, person, finances, whatever it is. Paul found his strength in there. So we're kind of understanding that on a concept level. But then we want to understand, too, the second point is the fact that contentment is learned, all right? Two great things. He had contentment in the face of everything, but he's very honest about this, too. It's not just some, ideal that you either have it or you don't. No, not at all. In other words, this contentment is not inspired behavior. It is a learned behavior. This is a contentment that is learned. Not that I'm implying that I was in any personal, we're just kind of revisiting the scripture again from some different, going up the mountain a little different side. For I have learned how to be content, satisfied to the point where I'm not disturbed or disquieted in whatever state I am. I know how to be abased. I know how to be abased and to live humbly in a straitened circumstances. I know how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. I've learned in any way and all circumstances the secret of facing every situation, whether well-fed or going hungry, having a sufficiency and enough to spare or going without and being in want. Here again, the point is the Apostle Paul learned how to. So it's not just like, in other words, he learned how to unplug and replug. It's not like one and done. Oh, I'm plugged around. Oh, I should be plugged over there. Yeah, I know. We don't naturally want to plug into God in all the different contexts of our life. We're born into a sinful condition in terms of a body that is fighting us. A flesh, a world, a devil, demonic spirits. We know that we've got a wrestling match going on. And so our body doesn't naturally want to plug into spiritual things. It's not in terms of a natural sense. It's something that is supernatural to plug into. So the Apostle Paul said, I've had to learn how to do this. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 4:5 said the strong meat, the word of God, it belongs to the mature, those who by reason of use have had their senses exercised to discern good and evil. In other words, there's a process and, we haven't arrived, but we're learning and we're growing that no matter where I'm at in my contentment, I can get more content and more content. I can be aware that I don't have to let things suck the life and energy out from me, but I've got a choice that I can unplug and I can replug back into God in different ways. And so what the Apostle Paul is saying, you know, this is a learned behavior. This is something that has happened over time. And as we look at his life, here's an example, I think, one of the great examples of learned behavior as it relates to the Apostle Paul being content and backing up his claim to be able to be content in every situation. One of the missionary journeys he went on, it was his second missionary journey, and he was kind of trying to figure out where to go. They had a few options. They were going to go to Bithynia. It wasn't God. Turned out to not be God. They went and tried to go to Asia Minor. Said the Spirit forbid them. And then they had a dream. The Apostle Paul had a dream of a man saying, come on over to Macedonia. They concluded it was God. They went over to Macedonia, had a great revival, and then got a gal delivered from demonic oppression. And in getting her delivered from demonic oppression, they got beaten and thrown into jail. All right. Now, this is the Apostle Paul who patiently stopped at the red lights, went at the green light, and just got flat out persecuted in the face of that ministry. And this is what happened after he got thrown into jail. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. What was the Apostle Paul able to do? I mean, those are real stripes. We read about them and we kind of imagine them, but for him, it was real. They were real cuts on his back. It was real pain. And I'm sure the smell was not that great being fastened in the inner prison. Feet fastened. I mean, you don't even have motion on your feet. You know, I mean, if I just feel a little sticky on a humid day, I'm feeling really bad for myself, you know? Got to get into a shower as fast as I can. Now, think about this. I mean, that sense, that context. And what is he doing? They're praying and singing hymns to God. That's learned behavior. You don't naturally do that. It's learned behavior to unplug from the stripes, to unplug from the false accusations, to unplug from what people were doing to him. He could unplug from all that injustice, unplug from the physical pain, unplug and plug into God and worship God. And you can see there is a contentment there. In fact, as the story goes on, as they were worshiping, there was a great earthquake, the prison doors flew open, and they didn't try to escape. You know, the jailer was about to kill himself. He said, don't kill yourself, don't harm yourself. We're all here, you know. In fact, he got the jailer and his whole household saved. I mean, wow. He's just content, though. But you see that plugging in to worship. He learned it. He learned that, oh, this is really bad. Now I got a right to really feel sorry for myself. He never gave himself the right. He just unplugged and plugged into God. And again, none of us are all there, okay? I'm right here with you. But I'm just saying there's a secret here. And I'm saying we got a choice. We got a free will to do some unplugging and plugging into those things that cause that contentment. So they just plugged into worship. They began to worship God. And this is really what James is talking about. When you fall into these trials, count it all joy. And you can see where Paul and Silas are wanting nothing. I mean, wow. What an amazing picture of that James 1 passage. Patient to where they are just secure in him. And again, to me, this is great because this is growth. This is where I want to go to. I want to get to where I'm unplugging and I'm plugging in no matter who does what on my list of people that I need to love, that I'm unplugging from them and I'm worshiping God so that I can love, that I can be gracious and good and do what God wants me to do. Also, not only was there that plugging in to worship, there was a plugging into the Spirit. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And this is where we've got to realize, too, that a lot of times things are going on in life and situations. I mean, when you wake up in the morning, for example, you don't necessarily feel really spiritual. You feel your body. You feel, ugh, you know. It's not a good time to put yourself under the spiritual microscope and shame yourself for not feeling and seeing spiritual glorious things. No, you got a body. You got stuff going on. You got a schedule. We're all, you know, it's great to be able to have this time. And the scripture says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves, especially as you see the day approaching. It's good to come together. This is really a time where we come together. It's kind of like our halftime, where we can come together, encourage each other as we get back out on that field of life. There's schedules on that field of life. There's situations that we got to deal with on our own fields of life and stuff like that. But there is a stirring up. There's an intentional stirring up of the gift of God. Paul says, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you already through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In other words, there's an intentional stirring up that gift. I mean, when sometimes for me, when I'm just kind of, I'm dragging in the morning, but for me in my morning routine, I'll say good morning to God, say good morning to the Father, and say good morning to Jesus. And just in the middle of saying good morning and thinking about him, all of a sudden I remember what he's done and how he loved me and how he gave himself more. Just saying good morning to the Holy Spirit. And wow, I can, you know, you're in me. The anointing abides within. I know all things. The love of God's been shed abroad. I'm putting on that new man. And all of a sudden it's like, wow, I'm stirring up the Spirit of God in me. And all of a sudden I'm smiling. In my head it's going, why are you smiling? Why do you got that smile? And it's like, man, it's like you're smiling from the inside. You're smiling from your spirit. And your head sometimes is going, what? But you're smiling because the joy of the Lord bubbles up on the inside of you. It is your strength. You know, I love a story. I remember hearing about a minister who was woken up at 2 in the morning. And a gal was, and he recognized, he knew who the gal was. It was a gal who had had a terminal illness before. And he thought, oh no, it must have happened, relapse. Something must have happened. And she came in and, you know, it's 2 in the morning, and she's very distraught. And him and his wife had gotten up to take care of the situation. And he said, you know, sister, whatever it is, it's okay. God can heal you. God can take care of you. And he said, what is it? What do you need me to pray for you about? And she said, oh, I don't need healing. I'm fine. I'm physically well. He said, I don't feel the love of God anymore. I don't feel his closeness to me anymore. No, this is 2 in the morning. And he said, sister, if we were going by feelings right now, I would have you praying for me, okay? I'm not feeling anything either. And then he said, just sit down and watch what I do. And as he had her to sit down, all of a sudden he just said, Lord Jesus, I love you. I thank you that you love me, that you're for me, that you're with me. I thank you, Lord, that I have the promise that I'm going to be with you forever and ever. The sufferings of this time can't even compare with the glory that I'm going to see in you one of these days. He just began to speak some of those words, some of those scriptures. And then he just stopped. He said, now what happened? She said, well, your face just lit up. He said, yeah, it's been there. It's there the whole time. I just stirred it up. That's all I did. But it's there the whole time. It's not that he's left you or forsaken you. There's still nothing that can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. No trial, no nothing. No anything that anybody does to you can separate. People might get in between you and another person to hurt a relationship with another person, but nobody can get in between you and the love that God has for you. Nobody can do that. Nobody can undo what Jesus did for you 2,000 years ago. That's just in you as a child of God. That can be stirred up. That can be reappreciated and refreshed in your heart and your mind. There's that plugging into the Spirit. There's a recounting the goodness of God. We sing that song, The Goodness of God. I like that song because it kind of does that for me. It helps me to plug into the Spirit where I'm stirring up. Oh yeah, he did this and he's been good. And yeah, he's been faithful. And I don't have all my questions answered. I still got some why God questions, but he's been faithful here and here and here. Pretty soon you're stirring up the joy of the Lord. So there is that plugging into the Spirit. There's plugging into the Word, letting the Word dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in songs, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between soul, spirit, joint and marrow, and exposes the innermost thoughts and desires. And again, when we're talking about plugging into the Word, don't be thinking of volumes of the Word. God could give you a couple verses, and he could call you to get up every morning and declare those 2 or 3 verses every day, and that's your breakfast. And every day, and the more you declare just a couple verses, you will go deeper and the Holy Spirit will divide it more. And all of a sudden, you might find yourself going to some other scriptures because of something he's showing you in those couple verses. But all you need is the Word is alive. It is powerful. Like we said last week, I don't have to be inspired to drink that cup of coffee. Praise God. That's what makes coffee so good. You don't have to be inspired. What's going to get you up? It's already in the coffee. It's like you don't have to be inspired to read the word. The power is in the word. The inspiration is in the word. You're drinking that coffee by faith to wake you up. You're letting that word dwell on you richly by faith. And I'm just saying, it's declaring some words. It is declaring that word of God, letting it dwell in you richly. And I'm going to just say this too. When you kind of get into some of those battles where it's like that voice is really loud, and I know what I'm supposed to believe, I know what I should be thinking about this situation, when you begin to declare it, speak it out loud, that's when you're fighting the good fight of faith. You're laying hold of eternal life. The fighting the good fight of faith is not just mentally recalling your theology. Fighting the good fight of faith is swinging the sword of the Spirit. Can you think of a scripture of how you should be? Air it out. When you declare the word of God, it doesn't condemn you. It empowers you. It gives you strength in situations. You know, it will kind of segue that right into this last point right here. Plugging into the love of God. It's kind of a good illustration. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. You know, there's an unplugging from fear and plugging into love. You know, that casting out fear. Fear involves torment. So there's an intentional, okay, I'm afraid right now. I'm concerned. I've got real fear here, but I don't have to stay here. I can unplug from this and I can plug into the love of God. I can plug into the love, you know, and sometimes that might be just saying that scripture. Now, you don't have to have it memorized. If you want to go to it or look at it or whatever, just begin to say it and declare it. There is power in saying the word of God. Remember when Jesus asked his disciples, he said, "Who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" He didn't say, "Who do you think I am?" He said, "Who do you say that I am?" Declare it. I'm sure when Peter said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God," the other apostles, you know, disciples were thinking, "Man, I was thinking that too." But Peter said it. He declared it. And the sword of the Spirit is the spoken word of God. It's the rhema. It's coming out of your mouth. It's what Jesus said when he said, "It is written." You know, sometimes when you're dealing with some love situations, it might be the love of God. Man, I feel like, wait, for feelings, you're going to come in line. Because it is written, there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Life, death, things present, things to come, angels, demons, circumstances, no created thing will ever be able to separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, my Lord. That's what, that is just declaring, it's finding that contentment in him. And these are things that you're doing by faith. And let me just say this too, if you're finding it hard sometimes when it comes to love, maybe in the area of forgiveness, you got thoughts that are coming back saying, "I'm trying to forgive, I can't, you know, forgiveness is something that you do by faith, all right? You drive that stake in the ground. It doesn't mean that you don't have bad thoughts. It doesn't mean that you're not still tempted to be bitter again. It doesn't mean that the memories of whatever caused that won't come back to you. But what you're doing is you're by faith forgiving. And when those thoughts begin to come back to you, that's when you begin to swing the sword of the Spirit. That's when you begin to say what God has said. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. When you begin to do that, you begin to experience, you know, it puts the shoe on the other foot. So, for example, if you're having a hard, it's like Satan just keeps bringing it back up and I just can't seem to stop doing it. Well, if when he brings that back up, you by faith swing the sword of the Spirit and say, "I bless so-and-so. I pray for them, Father God, in Jesus' name. Bless them, help them. Lord, where they're having troubles, help them to see, to grow, to overcome." Just stir up that divine empathy by faith in Jesus' name. And you're consistent and you do that over and over and over again. Right? Now Satan has a problem. How to get you to stop doing that? How can he get you to stop blessing them constantly? At some point, he's going to have to take his foot off the gas because you are overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And it's keeping you in a place of contentment, free from bitterness. It's casting out fear. It's a love that is showing grace and mercy and casting out fear. It's things, again, we're all growing in this. None of us have arrived. But what I'm saying is this, as we're moving, is that wherever we are in our contentment, we can continue to grow in that. There is a secret here. There is a place where no matter what's going on, if I'm really stressed, I got to think, am I plugged into something here that I can unplug and get plugged into God. And this is something where the Holy Spirit can show us what that means individually. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that as we're just continuing to go through life, as we're experiencing things, that there is a tremendous secret that we have in you, that we really can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And I pray, Father, that you would just show us what that means with our stuff, with our life, things that can drain us. I pray, Father, that we'll know, that we'll see that we've got a choice. We can choose. That contentment is a choice. We don't have to stay where we're at. We don't have to roll over, feel sorry. We can fight the good fight of faith and unplug and replug into you, Lord Jesus. We can lay hold of eternal life. We can lay hold of that power that comes from you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for just the power of contentment. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I choose today to unplug from anything that's not you. There is only one who deserves my whole heart, and that is you, Lord Jesus. I unplug from my finances. I unplug from people. I unplug from my circumstances. And I plug into you as I worship and stir up the Spirit and declare the Word of God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I can be content in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. Again, it's just kind of a little bit of a maintenance message to just kind of help locate us where we're at and just realize that, hey, you know, it can be better. Life can be better. We can grow in this area and realize that we've got tremendous choice to be able to choose that contentment and realize a tremendous resource that He is there to strengthen us in every situation. Praise God.